Hey, sweetie. So, today I have a lot of stories for you. Well, not a lot, but a few. I figured, why not? You know, maybe one isn't enough to make you fall asleep, so I'm making a few more. Okay, so first, we have the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. E-U-R-Y-D-I-C-E. Eurydice. And it's told by Apollonius of Rhodes. Apollonius of Rhodes, Virgil, and Ovid. Who even knows what that is? Orpheus, where have I heard that? Oh, from Neo. That's right. No, that's Morpheus. Oh, well. Okay. Just sit down and relax, and I'll read you a story, or three, or five. So, Orpheus starts out. On his mother's side, he was more than mortal. He was the son of the Muses and a Thracian prince. His mother gave him the gift of music in Thrace, where he grew up and fostered it. The Thracians were the most musical of the peoples of Greece, but Orpheus had no rival there or anywhere except the gods alone. There was no limit to his power. When he played and sang, no one could resist him. In the deep, still woods upon the Thracian mountains, Orpheus, with his singing lyre, lit the trees, lit the wild beasts of the wilderness. Because there's like little song thingies in between. Everything animate and also inanimate followed him. He moved the rocks on the hillside and turned the courses of the rivers. When he first met and how he wooed the maiden he loved, Eurydice. We are not told, but it is clear that no maiden he wanted could resist the power of his song. They were married, but their joy was brief. Directly after the wedding, as the bride walked in the meadow with the bridesmaids, a viper stung her and she died. Oh, that's sad. Orpheus's grief was overwhelming. He could not endure it. He determined to go down to the world of the dead and bring Eurydice back. He said to himself, "With my song, I will charm Demeter's daughter. I will charm the Lord of the Dead, moving the hearts with my melody, and I will bear her away from Hades." I can't remember the meter of these rhymes, but he dared more than any man ever dared for his love. He took the fearsome journey to the underworld, where he struck his lyre, and at that sound, all that vast multitude were charmed to stillness. O gods who rule the dark and silent world, to you all born of a woman needs must come. All lovely things at last go down to you. You're the debtor who's always paid. A little while we tarry up on earth, then we are yours forever and forever. But I seek one who came to you too soon. The bud was plucked before the flower bloomed. I tried to bear my loss. I could not bear it. Love was too strong. A god, O king, you know it. The flower saw the grape of Proserpine. Then weave again for sweet Eurydice. Life's pattern that was taken from the loom. Too quick, see, I ask a little thing, only that you will lend, not give, her to me. She shall be yours when her year's span is full. No one under the spell of his voice could refuse him anything. He drew iron tears down Pluto's cheek and made hell grant what love did seek. They summoned Eurydice and gave her to him, but upon one condition, that he would not look back at her as she followed him until they had reached the upper world. So the two passed through the great doors of Hades, and this sounds like a double crossing already, to the path which would take them out of the darkness, climbing up and up. He knew that she must be just behind him, but he longed unbearably to give one glance to make sure. But now they were almost there. The blackness was turning gray. Now he had stepped out joyfully into the daylight. Then he turned to her. It was too soon. She was still in the cavern. He saw her in the dim light, and he held out his arms to clasp her. But on the instant, she was gone. She had slipped back into the darkness, and all he heard was one word, farewell. Desperately, he tried to rush after her and follow her down, but he was not allowed. The gods would not consent to his entering the world of the dead a second time. While he was still alive, he was forced to return to the earth alone in utter desolation. Then he forsook the company of men. He wandered through the wild solitudes of Thrace, comfortless except for his lyre, playing, always playing. And the rocks and the rivers of the trees heard him gladly, his only companions. But at last a band of Maenads, women, came upon him. They slew the gentle musician, tearing him from limb, borne along the river's mouth onto the Lesbian shore. Nor had it suffered any change from the sea when the Muses found it buried in the sanctuary of the island. They slew the gentle musician, tearing him limb from limb, borne along past the river's mouth onto the Lesbian shore. Nor had it suffered any change from the sea when the Muses found it and buried it in the sanctuary of the island. His limb they gathered and placed in a tomb at the foot of Mount Olympus. And there, to this day, the nightingales sing more sweetly than anywhere else. Huh. Well, that was the sad story of Orpheus and Eurydice. Let's see what else we have. I don't know if this is really a story, but this is the myth of Apollo and Daphne. In Greek mythology, Apollo was the god of light, and it was his job to pull the sun across the sky in his four-horse chariot every day. He had also been referred to as the god of music, poetry, art, medicine, knowledge, plague, and archery. Apollo was the son of Zeus, god of thunder, and Leto. He had a twin sister, Artemis, was the goddess of hunting. Apollo was also famous for being an oracular god, and had two cults in Delphi and Delos. People would come all over from the world to learn from Apollo and what their future held. It was believed that as the god of both medicine and plague, Apollo could heal people as well as cause disease by shooting people with his arrows. Daphne was a naiad nymph in Greek mythology and was the daughter of a river god. She was famous for being incredibly beautiful and for catching the eye of Apollo. However, Daphne was determined to remain unmarried and untouched by a man the rest of her life. Greek mythology states that Apollo had been mocking the god of love, Eros, also known as Cupid. And in retaliation, Eros fired two arrows, a gold arrow that struck Apollo and made him fall in love with Daphne, and a lead arrow that made Daphne hate Apollo. And under the spell of the arrow, Apollo continued to follow Daphne, but she continued to reject him. Apollo told Daphne that he would love her forever. Daphne turned to the river god, Peneus, and pleaded for him to free her from Apollo. In response, Peneus used metamorphosis to turn Daphne into a laurel tree. Apollo used his powers of eternal youth and immortality to make Daphne's laurel's leaves evergreen. It's believed that Daphne has to sacrifice her body and turn into a tree, as this was the only way she could avoid Apollo's sexual advances. Further facts about Apollo and Daphne. After Daphne had transformed into a laurel, Apollo made the plant sacred and vowed to wear it as clothing. Eros fired the two arrows into Apollo and Daphne because Apollo had made fun of him. Apollo had recently been victorious and won Python, an earth dragon, and told Eros that his godly talents were useless compared to his own. Eros fired the arrows from the top of Mount Parnassus. In Greek, the word laurel is Daphne. The laurel became the symbol of Apollo and the symbol for poetry. Every 4 years, a laurel wreath is to be given the winner of the Pythian Games. These games were held in the honor of Apollo. Interesting. Have I been calling him Apollon? Because it's Apollo. I think Apollon is Roman mythology. Alright. So here is the... Are you still with me? I've fallen asleep? No? Okay. Now, this is a bit of an interesting story. It's the tale of Persephone. The Greek goddess Persephone was the child of Demeter, the goddess of Earth's fertility and harvest, and Zeus, the king of all the Olympians. Demeter was the most nurturing of goddesses, and in turn was the most nurturing of mothers. She cared as deeply for her daughter Persephone as she did the Earth. Persephone lived a happy, fruitful childhood, playing with the other Olympian children and spending time in the gardens of Olympus. On one occasion, however, Persephone was picking a flower, or narcissus, with a group of her favorite flora nymphs. The earth suddenly opened up, and out of the deep, dark blackness, Hades emerged. From his place in the underworld, he had seen Persephone's innocent beauty grow to radiance. He desperately wanted her to be his queen of the underworld, so one day he approached Zeus, asking for permission to take Persephone as his queen. With little concern for how Demeter would respond to such a request, Zeus agreed and Hades was given consent. Now Hades, at the sight of Persephone's natural but rich beauty, took hold of her and carried her gently down with him to the underworld. Persephone cried out for her dear mother Demeter, but to no avail. Now in the underworld, Persephone was under Hades' control. Demeter approached the gardens where Persephone usually played with the nymphs, but could no longer find her daughter anywhere. She found one of the particular nymphs in a grove, usually boasting morning glory flowers in her hair, sobbing. The flowers lay strewn along the lush grass. Demeter gently asked where Persephone was. The nymph in anguish would not answer. Stricken with grief, Demeter scoured the earth in search of her daughter. The immense sorrow caused the earth to grow dark, cold, and barren. The one slush. I can't speak any. Hang on a second. My mouth is so dry. Stricken with grief, Demeter scoured the earth in search of her daughter. Her immense sorrow caused the earth to grow dark, cold, and barren. The once lush meadows yellowed, the trees curled and furled, and the rain stopped. Having searched the entire living land, Demeter finally contacted Zeus. He informed her of Persephone's marriage to Hades in the underworld. Demeter grew into a motherly rage. She demanded Zeus to return Persephone to her care, but Zeus refused. Demeter left Olympus and watched the earth, as the earth began to decay without her nurture. She sought to punish Zeus for betraying her and their daughter. The now yellow meadows blackened and decomposed to dust. The trees began to shrink into the hard dirt, and the river shriveled up and the lakes froze over. Zeus had no other choice but to agree to Demeter's demands. He told Hermes, the messenger, to bring Persephone back up to Demeter's care. In the underworld, Persephone had grown to love Hades, who treated her with compassion and loved her as his queen. As she would have up in Olympus, she remained eternally beautiful in the underworld. Hades admired her kind and nurturing nature. However, Persephone missed her dear mother greatly and wished to spend time on Earth with her. When Hermes reached the underworld, he requested that Persephone come back to Earth with him and rejoin her mother and father. Hades knew he could not refuse the commands of Zeus, but he also could not part from his beloved Persephone. Before she departed from the underworld, Hades offered Persephone a pomegranate as a farewell. This was, however, a cunning move by Hades. All the Olympians knew that if anyone drank or ate anything from the underworld, they would be destined to remain there for eternity, as the fates had cautioned. Even Demeter had warned Persephone of this fate and instructed her never to drink or eat anything. Thinking of her mother, Persephone decided to instead eat the small seeds of the pomegranate, assuming that these would not count as consumption. Little did Persephone know that this was exactly why Hades had given her the pomegranate. After eating six of the seeds, Persephone was approached by the fates, who told her she would forever remain in the underworld as Hades' queen. Hermes sadly went up to Zeus and Demeter, who anxiously sat waiting for her daughter's return. Upon the sight of Hermes alone, Demeter spiraled into a fit of immense grief and sobbing. She knew what Hades must have done to keep Persephone there. However, Zeus, being the mighty king of all gods, could not allow his beloved land to become decayed and barren, and so he met with Hades himself. With the help of Hermes, the infamous deal was struck. Because Hades had deceivingly tricked the young Persephone into eating the pomegranate, he was commanded to allow Persephone to visit her poor mother above his domain. In return, Zeus promised a binding deal that allowed Hades to have Persephone a month for each seed she had eaten. Thus, for half of each year, Persephone was to sit on the throne of the underworld besides Hades. During Persephone's 6 months on Earth, I can't speak. My mouth is like total cotton mouth. During Persephone's 6 months on Earth, reunited with her mother, the land was fertile, beautiful, and warm. The meadows were lush and of the deepest green. The trees were tall, sturdy, and fruitful, and the rains came often and drought was unseen. However, when Persephone left the land and entered Hades' domain, Earth experienced a cold, dark period with no growth. Demeter grieved for her daughter and had little time to nurture the land. Thus, according to Greek mythology, the seasons were created. The autumn and winter months were when Persephone sat on the throne of the underworld besides Hades, and the spring and summer months were when Persephone was reunited with her dear mother, Demeter. That's a cute little story. Well, I hope you enjoyed it.